All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Welcome, everybody. Friday afternoon, Oilers Nation Radio, episode 211. Bag Milk, Dan, Liam sitting in for Tyler. Tyler is in Montreal on the draft floor. We're seeing him on the Zoom call. Rick is at home because Tyler took all the microphones.
That is not true.
That is absolutely true.
False. Fake news. Not true. I'm on the draft floor. Tyler. I wish it was the dance floor. Am I right?
It could be. Anything could be a dance floor if you're committed.
Every floor can be a dance floor if you want it to be.
Why don't you get up and do a boogie? I'd like to see what that suit can do.
Mm-hmm. Dance.
Not much.
Yeah, just start a line dance. See who jumps in.
The WAP.
I'd like to see you nay nay. As we do every week, we start off with our delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle, 17 locations and counting. Friday afternoon, maybe you don't want to go to the nudes. You're tired from the draft. You got a lot of recap articles to read at OilersNation.com. Order through DoorDash. Ding dong. Liam, live ding dong, please.
Ding dong.
Thank you. There you go. Oodle Noodle, delicious debate where we're going to start off today. Tyler, I'm going to come to you first. Tyler's There's Frank leaving. Saravalli in the background. I see Frank Saravalli in the background.
I know. I got time to answer one question, boys, and I got a dart.
We're going to talk about the Zach Cassian trade. What is your first impressions of the Zach Cassian trade?
Well, my first impression of the Cassian trade is I was like, I think it's a little bit much. Like when you hear a second and a third on top of moving down, which didn't end up being a big deal because they got the guy they wanted. But I was like, maybe it's a bit much. And like you kind of saw the Mrazek deal. And I know I've been told a few times now, like, hey, don't compare them. They're not the same. So I won't. But I thought it was maybe an asset too much. And then waking up today, you kind of go, okay, it's a 2025 pick and a 2024 pick. And you know, you are losing like 2 years of a bad contract. So I actually think it's a pretty fair deal. It's not a steal. It's not a great win for the Oilers, but it's a move they had to do. They had to bite the bullet and pay that price. So I think you got to be pretty thrilled with it. And with that, I dip out. Goodbye, boys.
Say hi to Frank.
Frank's here. Frank, thoughts on the Cassian deal?
Necessary evil.
Necessary evil. All right, boys, we're going to record the rundown. See ya.
Bye. There goes Tyler. We got 3 seconds of Tyler. He's in a suit right now. What you don't know, because he hasn't really been tweeting it out from his account, but Tyler has been murdering hot dogs. What we found out in Montreal is that the media have got 5 hot dogs so far, is what he said to Rick.
Wow. It's like me and the bananas.
You and the bananas, yeah.
The what?
The bananas.
The what? Bananas. The bananas?
The bananas. He speaks the King's English, though, Rick.
My language.
That's fair.
It is your language. Yeah. So
I wonder if Tyler was presented with a basket of free hot dogs if he would eat the free hot dogs, though.
Well, I also wanted to ask him last night. Well, I asked him last night, but he didn't have an answer for me. Was he also getting free BioSteel to wash down those delicious dogs, or was he just going in dry with those and having to buy his own beverages? I don't know. Mm. We didn't get to ask.
He said there was no free BioSteel yesterday. He said he was going to look for it today, but we didn't have enough time to ask him questions because the other show means more than our show.
Yeah, disrespectful. Really is disrespectful. So I'll just, Tyler woke up this morning, had a second thought about it. Cassian trades okay. Rick, what was your first thoughts?
I liked it, man. Like, I get it. Like, people want to sit here and complain about fucking second, third round pick. I get it. That's 2 and 3 years down the line. Like, to get out of it right now, that's huge. And all you do, if you just turn that into a quality player, let's just say it's like Dylan Strome, just for shits and giggles. Then it's a second and a third for Dylan Strome, or a second in 25 and a third in 24 for Dylan Strome. I don't think that's out of the realm of what you should pay for him either. So I'm good with it, man. I think it was a good move.
This morning I did an emergency episode of Better Late Than Never, just kind of do my take on the Cassian trade. And it's exactly what I said, Rick. It's like, first of all, those picks are 2 and 3 years down the line. So I'll probably forget about them until then. So I'll need somebody
to remind me. But that's 2 and 3 years till we pick them. That's like
exactly
6 and 7 till they even fucking have an opportunity to make the league.
Well, that's exactly it. So that was my point. So you're trading that to get $3.2 million in cap space. The Oilers need to make moves now. Mm-hmm. And this and also it's worth noting that this trade happened last night, which was Thursday, ahead of us knowing that Duncan Keith was going to retire, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. So I liked it. I don't have a problem with trading picks 2 and 3 years down the road. That's normally shit that we would do in video games that the NHL wouldn't normally allow, but it happened. So 2, 3 years from now, come on. Free space is going to help them now.
Wasn't it Nathan MacKinnon that said, I don't care what picks are in like the next few years. Hopefully I won't be here to play with them or something like that.
Yeah, like, something like
Colorado's first pick this year was in the 6th round.
Yeah. You got to move your picks. Yeah. That is a forward thinking move to help right now. Dan, what was your thoughts on the Cassian trade?
Well, I think that anybody that's upset with the transaction just has to look back and shake your fists at COVID, because the Cassian contract was signed just before COVID hit, and therefore the number just didn't make sense after that moment on. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like I've never once had any kind of regrets on it. Like, at some point we have to make trades, we have to make transactions, and there's a cost to every transaction. So I don't understand. Like, it's not like we're getting rid of any roster players that are going to make a meaningful impact other than Cassian. And I don't know. You just, that's the price you pay, to quote Peter Chiarelli. I don't know. It's just the way it goes.
I just think that, like, you need money now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to have a $3.2 million player on your roster, he can't just have 6 goals and 13 assists for 19 points. Yeah. That's not spending your assets, in this case, money, wisely. Liam, what were your thoughts on Cassian?
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me at all. Like, I liked Cassian. Like, I think he was a good Oiler for like a couple of years there. But like Dan said, like, COVID, after that, he kind of went off the rails a little bit. It wasn't the same player he was 2 years ago. We never really saw that San Jose round Zach Cassian again. Who cares what we traded him for, the second and the third? We still got that first round pick in there, which a lot of people were saying we were going to have to lose, period, to move Cassian.
Yeah, they moved down 3.
They moved down 3 and probably got the same player they could have got at 29 that they did at 32.
Well, they were kind of, there was a couple of guys around town kind of telegraphing Reed Schaefer, and we'll get to him in a little bit too, as a guy that the Oilers were targeting. They got their man anyway.
Yeah, so what does it matter? And, like, the Oilers don't pick in the second round anyway, ever.
Well, so again, I did this. So Raphael Lavoie, you got there. Ryan McLeod, that's a good one, in 2018. But then you've also got a bunch of misses there, like Tyler Benson. No offense to him, that's a miss.
Nothing in 2015, nothing in 2014, 2013.
Marco Roy, who's that?
Never heard of him. I don't even know what
team. He was a defenseman, wasn't he?
He was a centerman.
Centerman from
Armada.
For the Blainville,
Mitch Moroz, that was another one.
David Musil. This was the Oil Kings era.
Yeah, the Oil Kings era of the draft.
Tyler Pitlick,
arguably he's had the best NHL career, even though he's not necessarily an impact player. Although Ryan McLeod will beat that.
Look at this year, 2010. Pitlick, Martin Marincin, Curtis Hamilton, whoever that is.
Curtis Hamilton plays for the Belfast Giants now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was on Team Canada's junior team. I thought lots of good things coming from him.
I had high hopes for Curtis Hamilton.
One NHL game, 5 penalty minutes. I wonder what he did.
he got himself acquainted with someone, it seems like.
And then Lander.
I bet you he swore at the referee.
Anton Lander, future captain of the Edmonton Oilers.
I was going to say, is Lander the third best player the Oilers drafted in the second round in the last 10 years?
2 decades.
Could be, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, and that's if that's what we're talking about, how the Oilers pick, fucking move them.
Yeah, so... The others have just been picking well in the later rounds anyway, so I think that's why Holland just trusts Tyler Wright enough to be like, okay, we can sacrifice a second and third because we know our scouting staff is good enough to pick up players from round 4 onwards, which has been proven. Savoy, Tulio, Petrov.
And they've talked about it, like it's been talked about before at length with the draft potential of these players, right? Mm. And you're in your second and your third rounds, you're looking at drafting the same kind of players that you can draft in the sixth and the seventh round. You just have to find them.
Yeah.
So arguably, you look at our 2021 draft and all the promise that comes out of that with Matvei Petrov and Xavier Borgo and Munzenberger. Like there's a bunch of different opportunities there. Sorry,
Tulio.
Oh, Julio.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, actually, he was the year before. He was 2020.
Chason's good.
Same thing, 2020 again.
Alex Chason?
Close.
He was the answer.
He was.
Jake.
The next answer, Jake Chason. Point per game player in the dub this year in like 25 games. Had knee surgery.
To me, it's like you almost, these teams are almost overvaluing the second and third round picks. But again, we're not talking about like an impact player. We're not talking about a player that was making a difference for this team. And now that all that money is gone. And we're laughing. We're sitting here in the office waking up with, what, $15 million in cap space, and now we got $21 million? Like, things just blew up. So it's I think it's a really good move, and it's a transaction that we had to make.
If you're listening to this right now, I would like to hear from you, your thoughts on the Zach Cassian trade. The interesting thing for me was going through the comment section on Oilers Nation. Zach Lang wrote the article last night, got moved to Arizona. It was very split in the comment section. Very
smart. There's going to be people, regardless of the moves that are made, there's going to be people out there who are going to hate the move because it's made by an Oilers GM. That's just plain and simple. Doesn't matter who the GM is. Doesn't matter what the move is. They're smarter than whoever the GM is. They're always going to be upset with the move. Outside of that, I don't see how you can be upset about this move.
Was it split in the sense of people was upset Cassian had moved or because of the picks that were made?
The extra picks that were added in on the trade.
Okay.
But like that's one thing too, though. You can't say, got to trade Cassian, got to get that cap space. And then when they do it, be like, oh.
I can't believe somebody didn't pay more for him.
You want to eat salary or move a pick in 2025? I'm moving a pick from 2025.
Because I'll tell you one thing. I much prefer what Ken Holland did with the Zach Cassian situation than if he had bought him out and we had more dead cap space on the books for the next 4 seasons.
Me too.
Yes, you would have some savings this year and next, but you can't keep having dead cap space on your books.
Year wasn't even cap savings. I think next year was just running even. This year would have been the only year of cap savings.
That's a good find, Liam.
So it's like...
This one?
Yeah.
What do you got there?
So this is what Andrew Ladd was traded for last summer. He was a conditional third round pick for next year, a second round pick this year, and a second round pick in 2021. Went to Arizona, and New York Islanders required no return, simply a salary dump.
To get
so
the Oilers got a first round pick.
Yes.
Moved down in the draft.
Still drafted the same player that they allegedly wanted 3 picks previous.
And yeah, moved a $3 million contract.
So when you look at that, like,
Ladd's contract is a fairly large,
it's a big one. Yeah. Like understandable. But when you look at that, the Oilers did okay.
Man, the Coyotes are just picking up everybody's
something
scraps.
Something to add in that too is Andrew Ladd didn't play the year before. Like, he just played one game in Bridgeport for the Islanders.
But he did play for the Coyotes last year, so it wasn't like it was an LTIR thing.
12 points in 51 games.
Sick. I bet you Cassian will do them that. Yeah.
I bet Cassian scores 12 goals this season.
I bet
Coyotes are laughing.
Yeah. Again, that's another thing too. Like, Cassian, from his perspective, it sucks going from a team that was just in the West Conference Finals to Arizona, but you have to think he's going to have better opportunities to play in Arizona than he would have here.
All of a sudden, he slides into like a top 6 mix every day. like an everyday kind of top six conversation. So, yeah, I mean, for Cassian, the player, it's great to see. He'll probably get a couple more fights down there in Arizona, which is good for me, selfishly. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, we can't, like you said, Bag Milk, it's such a good point. It's just, you can't sit here and scream for cap space, and then when we get cap space, be like, wow, we can't believe we paid that much for cap space.
Yeah, and the thing, too, is I think a lot of people are upset with the amount of people that players I've been speculated to leave, but, like, how many of them are significant contributors to the Oilers? Like, how many of those guys, like, Fogel, Cassian, Barry, Smith, Keith, like, those are the five this summer, I would say.
Puljujärvi.
How many of them were significant impact to the roster to make it to the Western Conference Finals?
Cassian held Brassard off this lineup.
Yeah. Derek Brassard, once an Oiler, always an Oiler.
Yeah, never forget.
Keith and Barry were obviously big parts of getting to the
That's what I mean. Like, those were the two, right? Like, Keith and Barry were both good, but the other three, like, could have been better.
I love Jesse Puljujärvi. Stop trying to put him in that
list. I love Jesse Puljujärvi, too. It's actually, I'll say it anyway. He had a great start to the season, kind of got derailed in the back half, and it's just a bummer that this is where we're at.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
Dude, I'm still not convinced he's going, especially right now when you look at the fact that the rumors say that the return isn't all that large. Holland refused to make that move a couple of years ago when he wanted out. I think if you refuse to make those moves right now, you just wait till time goes on and get further in the summer. He is not so close to the end of last season anymore. So you kind of, the negativity of last season kind of wanes away with each day, right? So the further we go into the summer, I think the easier it is to try and get him back in this roster.
We'll see what happens, because Ken Holland said pre-draft, you could see this situation, if he does get moved, that is, carrying on all summer, which...
He said yesterday that something about cap space and listed some names and listed Puljujärvi's name in the names that he could sign with the newfound money.
Well, we got a lot more money today than we did 2 days ago. So it'll be interesting to see. So I'm going to get to that in a second. The other news that came down this morning, obviously, Duncan Keith. I'm just going to start with Rick, because Rick, you've been saying that he's going to retire for months now. Well, he did it. Today, Pierre LeBrun reported that Duncan Keith, future Hall of Famer, Cup winner, Conn Smythe Trophy winner, all that shit, he is going to shut it down for the final year of this monster contract. Rick, what do you think?
Good for him. He deserves it. He's had a hell of a career. I still think, and I know people will want to shit on me, but I think what he did bring value last season. I know we don't like paying what we paid for him in terms of salary or even to the trade itself, but I think he added a lot to that dressing room, and I think he added well on the ice as well. So I think he was a quality player last year, and I'm happy to see him move on. And the fact that we have the opportunity to use that money now, especially now that we know that bigger players are more enticed to come here this season, it's a perfect time for him to walk away.
For me, I'm with you. I didn't like the cost of acquisition. I didn't like that they didn't get Chicago to retain any salary, but like that's over with. What he did on the ice, I thought he was fine. He wasn't fantastic.
He was better than fine. There's a lot of veteran plays that out there that I think as the young defenseman, even Nurse as much, you learn from that stuff. So there was a lot of value in having him here last year.
I thought he was fine. Like, I have no complaints with the way he played. I'll put it that way. And I was actually saying to the boys before we started recording, one of my favorite things about Duncan Keith was watching him in the playoffs, because he was a filthy fucking hockey player. He really was. He would be hacking at you, cross-checking at you, and I'm going to miss that. I hope Evan Bouchard is going to take some of that saltiness into his game next year as the oldest standing Oiler for the 2022-23 season. Dan, your thoughts on Duncan Keith?
Well, first of all, I'll take you back to July the 2nd, when a former partner of ours tweeted it out that there was this possibility of a recapture penalty.
Oh, Puckpedia, yeah.
And we said on that very next podcast, we predicted that this was all a genius move by Ken Holland to have Duncan Keith come in, lead this team, give this team some veteran leadership, and then leave in the offseason via retirement. And that's exactly what happened here. Now, we're not getting the cap recapture penalty, and that's between us and the NHL, and we get to be frustrated by that again for this offseason. But yeah, it's a really a best-case scenario for the team. You know, you look at that transaction now of Caleb Jones and what, the 94th overall pick in last year's draft for Duncan Keith. It's not as bad as it was, that's for sure.
Liam, Duncan Keith?
I can guarantee Duncan Keith played better this season than Caleb Jones was ever going to play for the Oilers.
That's a good point, too.
Like, the money thing, like, once the trade happened, it sucked, but, like, I think you just got to put it aside. And at the end of the day, like Rick said, Duncan Keith was a good player for the Oilers. He brought a lot of value to the team. And I think at the end of the day, that's kind of what he was brought in to do, was he not? Like, yep. I don't think anybody thought he was going to come in and be the Norris Trophy winner that he was. Like, Duncan Keith was going to come in and be a veteran on the team to help them get past the first round and have some player success, which is exactly what happened. He played with the guy who's supposed to be the next best defenseman on the Oilers and definitely helped him. I like Keith. I liked what he did. Like, I'm not upset that he's gone by any means. I'm quite relieved he's gone now with the money. But, yeah, like, I think we need to give Holland a bit more credit for that trade than maybe fans have given him. All of us, I think. Like, I have criticized it a lot, too.
Yeah, but I still didn't like the trade, but, the player was great. It was solid.
Yeah. What the goal was to accomplish was accomplished.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So
we're hanging the banner.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
And someone said he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, so now we can put the banner Rogers Place.
Well, yeah, Keith Duncan Keith, yes. Lifelong
Hang his
Oiler.
Jersey.
Yes. Yeah, lifelong Oiler going into the Hall of Fame.
You heard it here first. He's going to the Hockey Hall of Fame wearing an Oilers jersey.
That's right. Everybody that's ever known Duncan Keith will remember him as an Edmonton Oiler.
Of course, yes.
That's all I know.
That'll just be like Adam Oates.
And Claude Giroux when he signs this summer.
Of course. Yep. Yes. Of course. Well, we're gonna talk about how to spend that money here in a second. But first, I want to tell you about Cornerstone Insurance. For 90 years and four generations, Cornerstone Insurance has been a family and employee-owned business right here in Edmonton. With all the products you need, auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, everything. Citizens of the Nation, you can get yourself a little discount as well just by clicking the button that says Citizens of the Nation. Got it? Good. CornerstoneINS.ca is where you go to get the details. CornerstoneINS.ca. So now the Oilers have about 20-ish million. Unfortunately, we are not going to get that recapture bonus. Bullshit. Which would have been another three, which is hilarious, but okay, whatever. NHL takes shots at the Oilers again.
Make up their own rules.
Chicago, was it a part of the trade? Was that what we were trying to do? Like, they were going to like take their penalty and give it to us as a positive instead? Because I was sent a little photo from Cap Friendly, I believe, and it said Chicago's getting dinged $3 million this year.
Chicago's getting hit 5.5 this year and then 1.9 next year. So they're getting the recapture penalty. We're just not getting the bonus that was supposed to be there. So they're getting hit 5.538 this year, 1.9 next year, according to Cap Friendly.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
So all the money they saved from shipping Kirby Dock just got clawed right back.
Well, that's why that starts to feel like those transactions between DeBrincat and Kirby Dock, that maybe Chicago's hand was forced by Duncan Keith's retirement.
Yeah, I wonder if they knew.
I wonder if Uncle Ken just gave them a heads up, or if Duncan Keith gave them a heads up.
That's what they said during the draft coverage there, was that they just kind of slipped it in that Keith has been trying to navigate the minutia around Chicago's issues. Oh. So, yeah, I don't know what
they're going to need. Means. They're going to need it at the rate they're going, because they're going to have to get to the cap floor.
Yeah, they are.
They
moving
move
out
on
pieces.
From either, if they're able to move on from either Taves or Kane, or somehow both by eating salary or whatever they have to do. All of a sudden, they are way under the cap floor, I believe.
So Liam's got Cap Friendly open right now. If they eat, say, 50% of Kane, somebody will absolutely, without question, take that.
I would take that if I was the Oilers.
I would, too.
The Oilers should, for sure.
Taves, though, that one's going to be a tougher sell.
I think he'll just
play Taves. The season
out. They have to agree to any kind of transaction, too. They both have
have no move clauses.
So I don't think that those guys probably go at the deadline to someone as a rental. I think both of them would.
No, I can't see a guy like Patrick Kane wanting to stick around on that squad.
Because they're going to be terrible next year.
Well, I think there was a report today saying Kane's agent is talking to Chicago, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember who said it. Fourth period or something like that, I think his name is.
Man.
I think there's a couple other. Pagnotta may have said it. There's a couple people out there who said that their agent, they're talking about it right now.
You hate to see it.
If you're Patrick Kane, you want out. Like, I get it. Like, cool. I think he said he wanted to stay if they kept DeBrincat. They got rid of DeBrincat and Doc.
Well, like, and now they're talking about
Patrick Kane's going to want the hell out.
And now they're talking about wanting to get rid of Seth Jones, too.
Yeah, there was reports that they want to move on from Seth Jones as well because the franchise is taking
a different direction. That was a joke, wasn't it?
I don't know. Was it? Because I saw it being reported a bunch of places.
I've seen it a couple places.
But again,
I thought I saw it like in more of a little tongue-in-cheek type of thing.
Oh, it could be, but again,
how does Seth Jones feel right now?
But again, this is like we're in the middle of silly season now, so it could honestly go either way. Right now is the time where if you have your shitty cap jokes, it's the time to make it because people will buy it. Or it could also be true because GMs in the NHL are, you know, I watched the draft last night and I saw Peter Chiarelli sitting at a draft table. Like the NHL is a weird spot, so it could go either way. But back to the Oilers here, $20+ million in cap space. How are we prioritizing the money? If you're Ken Holland, each of you, all of us, if you're Ken Holland and you've got $20 million to spend, how are you prioritizing the money? One of my first moves that I'm going to make, Brett Kulak by default has to come back. Mark Spector today reported that he's looking for around 2.5 by 4. For me, I sprint to the fax machine and I sell that all day long.
Does that feel like Kulak's camp is like undervaluing himself? That to Maybe. Me was a shocking number to get.
I thought it'd be at least 3.
That's exactly it. And there's people that were balking at it.
It said at least 2.5, so take that with a grain of salt, right? That could be easily 3, 3.25 at the same time.
So last year he made 1.85, so he's going to get a raise, no question.
And he has to realize the cap's not really gone up at all either, right? So his time right now might be to get his biggest contract possible, but it's not exactly a player's market with the cap not going up, especially a player like him.
Well, if I'm Ken Holland right now, I'm prioritizing Brett Kulak a little bit. We're just lighter on defense. Oilers need a goalie, and they are quickly falling off the market here faster than maybe we expected. Ville Husso went to
Detroit,
signed a new deal. Kemper has now been made available. His rights have been made available by the Colorado Avalanche. Jack Campbell is out there. Cam Talbot is reportedly unhappy about what's going on in Florida. I'm trying to find the quotes here. I got it right here. This is from Pierre LeBrun. Cam Talbot's agent, George Bezos? Jeffrey Bezos? Could is Cam be? Talbot's agent.
Wow.
Wow.
He needed the money.
No Jeff's problem. Cousin George is a player.
Go to Zach Lang's tweet after that, though, because it gives a Bill Guerin response to what the agent says.
So Cam Talbot's agent, George Bezos, met with Wild GM Bill Guerin during the third round of the NHL draft, and he said, "We both stated our positions. Billy has a lot to think about," to which Bill Guerin, the GM of the Wild, responded, "I don't have shit to do. Cam Talbot's under contract. George can say whatever the hell he wants. My team's set right now, and that's the way it goes. We can have all the discussions we want. Cam's a member of our team. We really like Cam. All we're trying to do is win." That is the least GM-y thing to say, and I absolutely love it.
Well, that's a GM that's staring down the barrel of $14 million of dead cap space, to be fair.
So to that point, how do you keep Cam Talbot at 3.6 as your backup?
That's kind of what I thought too, is like, why would you want to do that? Like, surely there's another goalie you can just go out and get for $1 million, right?
But the play between the two of them, right? Like, for me, Fleury, aging, injured, wasn't even the last goalie that they used during the playoffs, and Talbot was. Talbot was a hot commodity at a couple points during the season. So, I don't know, like, Bill Guerin has to recognize that they have to win games somehow, and maybe he thinks it's going to be from the net out.
But when you've got $12.7 million in space that you just can't use, you got to find savings somewhere, and spending 7.1 on your goaltenders, that might not be it.
But also you have to remember that Bill Guerin is just going to say, you know, he's going to tell everybody that he's not going to say, Cam Talbot's free to the next caller that rings my number. Like, what?
if you look at the Minnesota under cap friendly here, I believe they have almost like a full roster here.
Yeah,
like
they got a full roster.
Signed.
They have 11 full.
At this rate, I probably wouldn't move them right now either.
But if you look, like Liam just said, they're a little bit light up front.
And that team wasn't very good in the playoffs. Like, just disappeared in the playoffs.
They just got rid of Kevin Fiala. That was one of their top scorers last year.
They played St. Louis in the first
round. Yeah, but you still got Kaprizov. Then you got Zuccarello. You have Eric Sinek. You have Foligno they still like. Like, I mean, it's not like...
They haven't signed Delorier, though.
They're not terrible.
They're not going to be terrible, but, like...
I'm not considering...
It's going to be pretty tough to compete when you got that much money you just can't use.
I don't look at that Minnesota
team. No, that's fair, and I think they realize that, but you kind of, like... Would you rather add another forward in this, or would you rather have that extra security blanket type of goaltender? I think just by looking at the roster right now, that $3 million, I think I'm cool using it in that.
Yeah, but what if Cam Talbot isn't cool with you using him as a backup?
Well, that's just he doesn't have an option in this.
I mean, I guess it's like if you really wanted to, you could refuse to report, but that's Cam Talbot's not going to do that.
No.
Very few NHLers do that. That's not really an NHL thing. To feed.
Yeah, yeah. So, interesting situation around Cam Talbot, but I guess that lends back to the question, how are we prioritizing the Oilers' $20 million? They need a goalie, but who's that going to be?
Well, there's all those reports today on Matt Murray.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Like, Ken Holland Ken Holland has to stop looking at the guide and record book. I understand the cup rings there, but like, he hasn't been good in a hot minute.
Yeah, did actually Holland say something about Murray, or did everyone just start saying Murray and Holland and put them in the same sentence? Because
it's the insiders that are putting
it. If you
together.
Can just sit there and put them, like, he's out there and he's available, but I've heard him like closer to Toronto than to Edmonton. So are we going to sit there and say Dubas doing?
Darren, well, yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
I think the team that was looking at him hard was Buffalo, and then
he refused.
It came
wave.
Out and he said, yeah.
So I think the connection is. Murray said he would waive his no movement clause for Edmonton and Toronto.
Yes, that's so. Right. Darren Dreger said Murray would support a trade to Edmonton or Toronto. So Toronto, go for it, baby. Because what's his cap hit, Liam? Are you looking at it?
625.
Like that is if Matt Murray comes here at 625, he's going to get eaten up
for two more years.
But what if Ottawa retains?
Year after.
Well, Ottawa would have to retain. Like there's no other way.
If you got that cap down to $4 million, would you take Matt Murray?
What was his stats last
2 years of Matt Murray?
Last year, he had a 906 in 20 games with a 305.
A 906 is so, yeah, it's not good.
Look, you know what else he had? Stanley Cup ring.
A guide and record book, I understand. But 906 is not what we're looking for here.
No. And so the last good year was 2019 with the Penguins when he had a 919 save percentage and a 29 wins on the season.
To be fair, we're talking about the Ottawa Senators, not exactly marquee organization.
When he was with Pittsburgh, he was good, as we know. 930, 923, 907, 919, 899.
He only played 2 games in the playoffs and then 4 games in the playoffs after he won the cup. He got swept in the 4 games. Good, good, good. That's good.
So I don't like that option.
The only upside to that there is that it's only 2 years. If you look like Kemper, I think it's going to be 4 or 5. You look at Campbell, it's going to be 5. So the rumors say. So the fact that it's 2 years might be.
But do you really want to waste
a little bit better?
Not, maybe not waste. Who knows how it would go potentially? But would you really want to put a 2-year gamble on such a critical position?
Not really, but. You guys, what's their belief in Stuart Skinner right now?
I don't think it's overly high.
He's got, 13 NHL games played? You can't have your sight set too high on Skinner. Obviously, your hopes are high, but, like, expectations shouldn't be that high.
And a shutout streak, though.
That is true. His last game was a shutout.
Yeah, so it could continue.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't let in an NHL goal since.
What's the gamble difference between Murray and Jack Campbell?
I would say recently Campbell's been more consistent. I mean, like, Matt Murray played in the AHL last year.
Yeah, apparently, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I'm sure he had, like, some...
Conditioning stint.
I think it was some, like...
You can send a goalie to the AHL on a conditioning stint?
No, he got sent down for sure. He 100% got sent down.
And apparently, 20 games.
That was, like, a big, like, mental thing for him. Mike McKenna was talking about it once. I can't remember exactly what he said, but... it was something weird was going on with him.
Well, let's get Mike McKenna on the podcast, Liam.
I don't call him.
Let's do it.
Ring. Hello. Mike McKenna here. Barbecuing in St. Louis.
Is this where we take that?
Shout out to Nelly and City Spud.
That forced ad break, Liam?
Do we have to do that? I don't know how this works.
I don't know.
Do a special ad break? Let's go to break.
I don't want to go to break.
Like what?
So what else do we? What else we got that needs to be prioritized, boys? Do you think now that this cap space opens up that
it's
Evander Kane could come back now?
He's still here.
No.
You say no,
I don't think so, because the rumor was that all the Oilers were offering was to top up his settlement to what he was supposed to be getting, and that was way off of what he wanted. I think they're actually going to look at sort of the Giroux-Strome type combo where you can get two players to cover the offense and utilize them more in depth roles as well.
I can't see, like, I know the Giroux rumors are fun. I just can't see him signing here after playing his entire career in the East. Like,
what's he
going
to do? Go to Ottawa? Well, I guess now Ottawa doesn't look as bad, but still.
Ottawa doesn't look as bad. I can't imagine there's not like a Washington type out there that always seems to find a way to make these things work. Like someone on the East.
Why not us? We're I guess the travel part, I completely understand that, especially for a dude who's like 34 or whatever his age is. But I mean, like, if you want to win, dude, we were just in the Final Four. And we played it with about 8 forwards. One of which was hurt. We played it with our best defenseman being hurt, and we played it with a goaltender who was not great, and we still made the Final Four. This is a real roster. If you want to win, you have to seriously give Edmonton a serious consideration.
Oh, I'm not saying he shouldn't give Edmonton serious consideration. I just don't think he comes here. And I think it's just going to be, he's played, what, 13 years in the league at this point? And they've all been in the East, easy travel. I don't know that he'd want to do it at this point. Unless, of course, Edmonton's going to extend him longer than just 1-2 years so that he can settle a little bit. You know, he's got kids and a family. That makes sense to me. I would be shocked if Claude Giroux is an Edmonton Oiler.
I think it's, and this is strictly from absolutely nowhere, I think it's more probable than shocking if... Yeah, to me personally.
Why not get into the Nazem Kadri sweepstakes?
I would love Kadri.
Because I think he's gonna
make.
I would love the type of player, but his contract's gonna be more than what he's gonna bring to you.
And he's a 31-year-old, so you know he's gonna cash in on what was a monster season for him down with the Avalanche. So at 31,
yeah, he's gonna look for a 7-year contract for sure.
He had 28 goals, 59 assists for 87 points. He's going to get paid. He is going to get paid.
And from what I hear, Giroux's not going to get more than like a 3-year from any quality teams anyway. So
we'll see. Giroux had 65 points in 75 games, so he's still producing. I'd love to have him. He can still take faceoffs, right shot. There's lots to like about Claude Giroux. His beard game is excellent.
Yep.
I just can't see it happening.
What about Ryan Strome and Dylan Strome?
The Strome brothers.
Double trouble.
I'd like to see that. We dress them up like the Bushwhackers and make them skate on the ice and they've waved their arms in the air like that.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
That could be something.
Come on. That's perfect. I love the Bushwhackers reference.
Of course. Ryan Strome, how did he do? So 21 goals, 33 assists for 54 points.
He's going to get overpaid.
Yeah, he's going to get overpaid.
But maybe if he wants to play with his brother and we get Dylan.
And they have Bushwhacker uniforms.
Yes, again.
Which is, I mean... Include that as part of the pitch package.
Mm-hmm.
Both are friends with Connor.
Yes.
You know? I would have time for Dylan Strome.
I would actually like that a lot.
I would have, because that would be a guy that can chip in with a little bit of offense. He had a 20-goal season in Chicago.
And he's big. He's 6'3".
We love big guys.
Yeah. Well, you know? Especially if we're going to move one.
Of course.
We love him that much, we're going to trade.
Hold on, because everything coming out in the last 20 minutes, as Holland said, they were nowhere near... to moving Puljujärvi yesterday or today.
I meant Cassian. And
oh, yeah, he's massive. Yeah. So Dylan Strome's going to have to learn how to drop the mitts, too. I don't know if he's had any scraps on hockeyfights.com, but you can check that out in your own time.
No.
What else you got over there, Liam?
Mason Marchman.
54 games. He had 18 goals, 29 assists for 47 points.
27 years old. Can play either side. He's a lefty.
Is he big? How big is he?
He's like 6'3", I think. And he's a pain.
Oilers need more annoying players.
Yeah.
That is something, especially with like Cassian leaving, they need guys that can be annoying.
With Kane, maybe with Kane probably not coming back, they need someone at that. But that's where I think like we're an extra. Claude Giroux could get away with some of that stuff. He's older. He's been around. He's not going to get pushed around, and he'll push back. He may not drop the gloves like Kane does, but I think he'll do everything up until that part.
See, that's why I think someone like Marchman could do a job, because he had almost 20 goals this season. He had 18 and 54 on Florida, who's a highly offensive team. So are the Oilers. Mm-hmm. Like, why can't he do exactly the same here on a wing with McDavid or Draisaitl? You know, like, he could kind of fill that void a little. He's like almost like a poor man's Evander Kane, and he's 4 years younger. Maybe, I think that's a pretty good option if they wanted to go down that route. 3 years younger, sorry.
So, Liam, if you're looking at it, you're Ken Holland. You got $20 million to spend, potentially more if they do decide to trade Barry still. Mm-hmm. Some people are saying now that the Keith retirement happened that they're less likely to trade Barry, but I don't understand why those are connected. If you've got Bouchard as that guy, I'd like to bolster up the defense with a guy who just shuts it down.
I think Barry's almost blocking the way for Bouchard.
Yeah.
Like power play, just that kind of stuff. Like, I think you
I don't think he gets number one power play next year if they're both here. I think Bouchard gets that hands down. I think they like the way that he played in the playoffs, Barry, but he didn't look terrible when it came to defensively, but he's definitely gonna be the third right handed defenseman, right? I mean, like, he's gonna be dropping down there.
That kind of adds to the point. He came in to be the quarterback of the power play. Mm-hmm. So if he's not gonna do that anymore, then why do you need him? When you have Nurse and Broberg, who are probably both capable of doing that, right?
Nurse could take
those
minutes.
There's number two for sure. I agree. Yeah. There's probably better options out there for Barry's money in the position we want Barry to play. But I also think he probably brings something to the dressing room too that we really can't measure, and that's going to be part of it too. Like, if you're going to bring somebody in, you need someone who's going to be good in the room if that's what you're replacing Barry with. Mm.
And so say the others keep Barry. Your parents are going to be Nurse, CeCe, Kulak, Bouchard, Broberg, Barry.
That can't be the third pair.
That's your option right now, isn't it?
Like, unless you play Barry with Kulak.
But then you play Bouchard and Broberg, or you play Nurse and Bouchard.
Yeah. So that tells me they need upgrades on defense.
Because you don't want...
I have a different way of thinking about it. I want to see them go a seven defenseman because it eases up on the on the what you're asking for out of the Brobergs. So I could see that seventh defenseman being, whether it be Nima Leinen, Russell, the right-handed big defenseman down there. Because it gives that young guy some experience. It eases up on what you're asking out of Broberg. We have the offensive firepower to play with only 11 forwards. I really like the going 11 and 7 into this year when you have the youth on D that we have, because the way that Mattson was able to deal with it last year, it really helped the young guys and what was on their plate, I think.
I just think they need to get – I always want – it doesn't matter who you have on defense. I always want upgrades on defense.
Yeah.
Always. And I think that the Oilers could probably try and figure that out somehow. I would like
to. But you got to do the goaltender first, though, right?
Perhaps.
I don't know anymore. I know that, like, the broadcast, somebody, I think it was Dreger, said that there's like 14 teams right now that are looking for a goalie, which I don't necessarily agree with. But I do think that there is some teams still looking. I just feel like the pieces are moving. And, like, yes, I think that if you can make a transaction for a goalie that's currently with an organization like a Connor Hellebuck, that you could.
Yeah, right Hellebuck, away. Let's do it.
If you could do that, let's do it. But otherwise, like, we talked about it last week, I think, on this podcast, about how maybe you just wait and see now. Maybe you see how the goalies kind of shake down, because so many teams have already jumped the gun and made a transaction for a goalie.
I don't know.
But those are goalies I don't think we were considering, because I don't – like, and I've said this before, is I don't think
they were for sure
really confident bringing in that goalies that young, right? So whether it be Gorgiev or Husso, if you had like a Smith or a backup veteran, I think you went after him a little harder. You might be upset right now, but I don't think they wanted to walk into the season, into the dressing room with Connor and Leon there after coming out of the Western Finals and say, here's your two goaltenders. They have about 100 games played.
I would say the exact same thing on defense, though. Connor and Leon are going to want upgrades on on defense and in net for sure. So if you're looking at, like, right now, Darcy Kemper is probably the best UFA. Jack Campbell's in there. Braden Holtby is available. Halak, no thank you. Martin Jones, no thank you. Dustin Tokarski, I forgot he existed. Thomas Greiss.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried we get in the same situation as we did last season where it's like, okay, who do you want? Mike Smith or Aaron Dell? Because those are the options at the end of the day, and I just don't see how it's... I just don't know how they can just sit around and wait anymore. Like, they need to get on a Darcy Kemper train, find out if he actually wants to be an Edmonton Oiler, then trade whatever pick Colorado wants.
I don't think I would touch Kemper. He wasn't at the top of my list really when he's coming out of Arizona, and he's definitely not the top of my list right now. Like,
who's number one?
I think I'd
who's
rather
on your
go,
list?
Especially when you have to sign a UFA. I'd almost rather go Holtby. Or
I don't think Holtby.
You know, someone's going to be two years of a quality backup playing 35 games and giving Skinner the other 50 something. I'd rather go that way because, you know, it's easier to get out of that. Kemper doesn't make me feel good about the goaltending position.
I don't think Holtby would come here. A couple years ago, there was rumblings that he just doesn't want any part of the hometown local kid kind of thing. He's from Lloydminster. That was before he signed.
I get it.
Vancouver.
Was it Vancouver? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would rather have a goalie come in and Stuart Skinner prove that he can actually be the number one goalie than just bring in an old guy thinking Stuart Skinner will just take the reins.
Yeah, with 13 NHL
the money and the term for a UFA is what scares me.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think Huso would have been a good pick for the Oilers because he was only 27. What did he sign for in Detroit? 3 years?
Yeah,
four and a bit. Yeah,
and it wasn't even that crazy of money. Like, you could have had those two guys running at $8 million for 2 years. Would that have been so bad? You just
had been all right.
You just had costing him for 3 years at $4.5 million. So definitely an upgrade for both of them. I don't know. I just think the Oilers need to get off their hands and find the goalie before it just slips away, like it has last year, the year before, and the year before that.
What are you whispering? Well, I mean, the Hellebuck, yeah. Winnipeg, blow it up.
Just keep it going.
Nobody wants to go to Winnipeg.
What's it going to cost for Hellebuck, though? Because we really can't. We don't have the assets to lose anybody off the roster.
I would absolutely start trading prospects if it meant for a guy like Hellebuck.
I would give up a guy.
If they
like
want a guy like Broberg or something like that, if that's like one of the prospects they want, peace.
Yep.
See you later.
I'd give up Skinner and Broberg for Hellebuck.
Wow.
Wow.
Like, why do you need Skinner if you have Hellebuck?
And you can just sign Eric Comrie out of there, free agent.
There you go. You're
well, what's Hellebuck got on his contract still?
2 years left at about six and change.
I'm just saying, if we keep
2 years left, so you play Hellebuck for 2 years, you give Skinner two more years to develop behind him, and if you feel like Skinner can be a number one, you've got a number one, you can use Hellebuck in a trade at that point.
I don't even remember where this Hellebuck conversation came from.
We made it all up.
But I saw an insider talk about it. Last week.
Oh, they're listening to us.
They're hearing this.
Hellebuck.
So let's keep shaking it loose, boys and girls.
I'll buy Hellebuck. You the bus ticket myself to get here.
I'll pick you up.
Liam will pick you up.
Where, though?
Well, the bus
station. Are you driving them right from like the arena in Winnipeg?
Fargo.
No, I'm going to buy him a bus ticket. Liam will get him from the station.
Come on, guys. We got to step up here. Drive out to Winnipeg, buy him a plane ticket, drive him to the nearest airport, and then fly. You don't got to drive him the whole way.
Or
you got to show him that. You got to show him that first class love.
Daryl Cates lands the PJ on one of the roads right outside the MTS Center or whatever.
Portage Avenue.
Yeah, on Portage Avenue. Yes. The PJ.
It's
we
the
cleared
one
out.
Street I know of in Winnipeg.
The PJ lands. That's how we get him out.
I'm down.
Right? There you go. Other news, obviously. It's the draft we're talking about. Liam, what do you know about Reed Schaefer, our new friend that was picked at number 32?
I know he played for the Spruce Grove Saints, so he's very
local boy.
Yeah.
He's big.
Yeah, he's big. One, I was putting some highlights together of him. He can shoot the puck pretty good, which is promising. I feel like he's just going to be a middle six guy for the Oilers down the road.
I was kind of thinking you were going to say he can shoot the puck. Would have been.
I said that.
Oh, you did. Yeah. You said good.
Shoots
you qualified
well.
It. You gave us a good qualifier.
Yeah. The Oilers want to, it seems like they want to fast track getting these guys into the actual Oilers lineup. Like Schaefer's an 03 and this was an 04 draft.
Mm-hmm. As a quirk on that, Ryan Pike from Flames Nation sent me a note saying, because he's a late birthday, if the Oilers sign Schaefer before the end of 2022, they'd actually get an additional slide year and his ELC could last 4 years instead of three. It's a weird CBA quirk, but it's the same one that the Flames used on Connor Zeri.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was a consideration because I don't think he was the best player available at that point. Like, I know a lot of people like that Jagr-Furkus.
Name's great.
He was great. But if you get an extra year, it's all about saving money with McDavid and Draisaitl.
Chris Peters from DailyFaceoff.com had Schaefer in his draft rankings. So he said, a late bloomer that broke out this season. Schaefer was a major part of Seattle's run to the WHL Finals. He's big, skates well for his size, and put up 32 goals in 66 games. He plays the game with strength, but also has a soft touch on the puck, which led him to rising up draft boards throughout the season. Low tide.
If he's an old draft, does that mean he can play in Baco next year? Does he still have to go back to
he's
junior?
Got 1 year left.
1 year.
1 year left with Seattle. And that's not the worst thing either for that kid, you know?
I remember watching him in Spruce Grove and was wondering how he would even do last in the WHL.
Why is that?
Just because he didn't contribute like a ton offensively. Like, he was just a big physical presence. And he did a good job of it. He protects the puck well and all that kind of stuff. But now it seems just, we pulled up the numbers here, it seems like he's kind of rounded out his offensive game quite a bit, and those other tools are still pretty good, and now he has 32 goals in 66 games and 88 penalty minutes.
And I feel like you guys are leaving out the most important parts of this. He's from Edmonton, and he was an Edmonton Oilers fan growing up, and he envisioned himself being on this team during our playoff run.
I would like to make a quick comment on that.
Go ahead.
To call out our new Reed Schaefer. When his graphic came up on the thing, he said his favorite team was the Vegas Golden Knights.
Nice.
What?
I saw that. Yeah.
That is rude and disrespectful.
How are you are not a Vegas Golden Knights fan, Reed.
There's no way. Nobody is.
A team 4 years old. Doesn't make any sense.
From Craig Button at TSN, he says, Schaefer has certainly proven projections wrong during his NHL draft season. He opened up this year with a C rating from NHL Central Scouting, which is assigned to those considered candidates to be picked in the fourth round or later. He was number 85 on the midseason list of North American skaters, but after scoring 32 goals in 66 games, he rocketed up to number 31 in our final rankings. So there you go.
And if you look at some of the comparable names, I kind of like if he grows into this, because I was even listening to Gazzola this morning, and he was comparing him to Tanner Janot out of Nashville.
I wouldn't mind that. Because you know
what? Exactly.
If you get a late first-round pick, so I did the history of 29th overall picks. Obviously, the Oilers traded down to 32 over the last decade. It's a mixed bag. So if this guy can actually get into being a middle six forward for the Oilers, that is A-okay with me. Mm-hmm. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And we love our big boys around here. And that is what he is. He is a big, big boy.
6'3", 214 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Pure room to grow. 19.
Room to grow. He probably knows all the best donair shops in town, too. Rounding out the draft, the Oilers only had four picks this year. Samuel Janssen, giant goalie, 158. That was in the fifth round. Nikita, who...
Go ahead.
Nikita Yevseyev at 190th overall, and Joel Matta at 222nd overall rounds things out. Liam, you shook your head at that one.
It's so obvious why they picked him.
Why is that?
Because Todd Woodcroft is a head coach of the University of Vermont.
Todd Woodcroft?
Yes, who is Jay Woodcroft's brother.
Ah.
Same as the Munzenberger pick from last season.
Yeah.
That's some inside information.
But that team isn't good.
But what if Joel Matta is the reason they're not worse?
He was on the team.
I know, but they would be worse without him.
I think they had four wins last season.
Well, what if they only had one without him?
True. See, Dan's taking the he's drinking
very,
the Kool-Aid.
Very this good point.
Hey, if there's one person I'm going to believe in, it's a Woodcroft.
I believe in Tyler Wright. Every pick he makes, I believe in him.
Would you say he's right?
He's right very often.
Mm-hmm.
I would say last year he was right on all of the picks.
So last year was Xavier Borgo, Luka Munzenberger, Alex, don't call me Jake Chason, Matvei Petrov, Shane LaChance, and Maximus. Ooh, I like that name. Maximus Wanner. Wiener? Wanner.
Maybe.
Maximus.
Could be Wiener.
Could have been.
Never know.
Either way, Maximus is a fucking cool ass name. Shout out to that.
A lot of good names.
There's some great names coming through these days.
That guy who went to Winnipeg. Oh.
Who's the guy that went to Winnipeg?
Brad Lambert?
No. He's like a Rutger or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Rutger McRorty.
Yeah. He was the other guy who went to St. Louis. I liked his name a lot. Smurgard or something like that.
St. Louis Blues draft picks. One second, Liam. I'll help you out here.
Thank you.
Jimmy Snuggerud.
Yep, that one.
Every year.
Hey, if that dude's nickname isn't Superfly, every one of his teammates is letting him down.
I don't. Yeah, well, it'll be because they're all kids now at this point. Do they even know about it? Do they even know?
I sure as hell hope so. That's got to stick around.
Mm-hmm. Every year I get tricked by one of those meme accounts that just goes in and makes up all these draft picks names, and it's like I can't even believe some of these are names. It's like Frigid Air and just like no.
Well, it is interesting once you get into the later rounds of the draft too, because I wrote the news piece for Oilers Nation for the fifth round pick for the goalie, and there was nothing on the internet about this kid. So I'm like, I said to Coombsy in the sixth round, I'm like, good luck on this one. And then Zach in the seventh, it's just, what are you going to do sometimes? Yeah. What are you going
to
do?
Hey, for the record, I think Gregor pointed out the best name of all. That he went to Columbus. Luca Del Bell Blues.
Yeah, Liam's got beef. Go ahead, Liam.
Am I doing this?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I contacted the people in charge of Luke Del Bell Blues. And
yes.
We had a good conversation. We got an interview lined up. I started the Zoom call. I waited. And I waited even longer. And Luke Del Bell Blues did not show up to my interview with him.
Would you say he made you sing the Del Bell Blues?
He made me lose, and I had the Blues. So I was hoping... Never mind.
So you hate him. You were hoping he's going to go undrafted.
There was a couple of guys. There was OHL guys. I won't call out the other guy, Michael Bushinger.
To give a little background on this, Liam gives us an update every Tuesday on how he's doing for the week. And every week he was giving us an update about such and such a player that ghosted him or such and such a player that refuses to answer his email.
I've got some interviews lined up this week. It's going to be with this guy, that guy. We're like, great, Liam, let us know how it goes.
Next week.
Yeah.
Well, none of them show
up. I've got these interviews lined up now because so-and-so didn't show up.
Yeah, but shout out to Adam Ingram, Quinn Finley, and Nick Moldenhauer, who did show up to the interviews, and congratulations on getting drafted.
Those are upstanding young men. We wish them the best. Thank you for the interviews.
So next year, draft picks, when you hear Liam's name come up, answer the
call. Oh, you answer the call. You show up for your Zoom meeting. Luca Del Bell Blues. Come on. That takes us to Ask the Idiots, boys. We are running a little bit long here so far, but that's okay. It's draft week. We've got lots to talk about. Ask the Idiots questions came in, a couple of them over the last couple of days here that are draft-related/cap-related. BustersPizza.ca. There's a location near you, I promise. Pizza, pasta, donair, combos. Combination of all of them. Maybe you get yourself some kind of 7-course meal, all from Buster's. You start with some breadsticks, maybe, salad, keep it light. Then you move on from there. BustersPizza.ca. Ask the Idiots here. I'm going to start with Liam. First question that came in. You get a chance to rub Gary Bettman's head, and he grants you one wish to make an amendment to anything NHL related. Not gameplay related, though. It can be rules. It could be cap. It could be trade rules changing. Is there a rule that just annoys you that you would like to change that is not specifically about what goes on the ice?
Maybe this is a better one, but don't change your rules as you please.
Like the cap recapture penalty or bonus?
The Neil thing.
Yep.
I would say that. Just like stick to your rule book. Those are the rules. Don't sway from it. Maybe that's a cheap way out, but that's what I'll say when I'm rubbing Gary on the head.
Dan, you're going to rub Gary on the head now, and you get one wish to make a non-gameplay-related rule change or change of some kind. What do you got?
Well, first of all, I love the idea of just walking up to random people and rubbing their heads to see if you get a wish granted from them. But I'm excited to find out that this is the way that this works with Gary. And my rule change would be if or after every game, it's open season in the press conferences afterwards. You can say whatever the hell you want, and there is no repercussions whatsoever. I think that the hockey needs a little bit more wrestling to it, and I would love to hear some coaches just be able to tee off on the referees that, or the other team after games. So to me, you get diplomatic immunity for post-game press conferences.
I would also like to have just no more media training the players. I'd like to have a little bit more NFL, a little bit more personality, a little bit more wrestling in their interviews, getting pucks in deep, doing their best. You know, all that shit sucks. Rick, what's a change that you'd like to make?
Oh, I wanted to say like the rubbing the guy on the head who you don't really know doesn't really go that well. If you want to ask Gene Shorts about that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you'll be asked to leave the pint if that happens.
Anyways, I'm gonna rub him on the head and go, you know what, Gary? I think it's about time this league and all the white collars running it in front of cameras to the public admit that you're not always 100% right. Admit some of your faults. You'll come off better in the long run. Just enough of the whole, we always start the game on time and those type of things where they just never admit any type of fault. It's okay to admit some faults. Nobody's perfect. It's show us a little bit of vulnerability.
I'm going to give this as a rule change. You know what? If you say the game starts at 7, I want it to start at 7. How's that? Or do what baseball does and say puck drop at whatever. But tell, 7:07, that's when it starts. And it'll be like, okay, I know I've got 7 minutes of nonsense here. Got it. But don't do this thing where you say, like in the playoffs, I'm thinking of Battle of Alberta, second round, Oilers, in case you forgot, 1-4-1. 5 games, Flames were out.
That sounds good.
Did sound good.
How was Markstrom?
Markstrom was not good. But there'd be like 8 o'clock start, and it would be like 8:30, 8:35 by the time the game got going. Stop it. But the rule change that I would make, I said it last week on the podcast, I think. Maybe it was real life. I don't remember. I would do franchise player tags.
That was on our podcast.
That's a good one.
Connor McDavid, you are now the franchise tag. You do not count against the cap. Franchise tag.
Keep the cap the same?
Yep.
You get to take one player off. That might cause a ruckus between the players, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like F1, where guys don't want to admit that he's the lead.
Yep. Exactly it. Franchise tag.
Yeah. But like we said on the Tuesday podcast, who would you franchise tag if you're Arizona?
Zach Cassian.
That's what I mean. Like Chychrun. You basically are just...
Clayton Keller.
Clayton Keller.
But there's a guy that doesn't want to be there, right? In Chychrun, arguably.
Well, if you treated him that well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the franchise.
Because like the NFL, they'll franchise tag like offensive linemen on bad teams.
Right? I just thought of a fun one.
Go ahead.
Just came in my head. You get eliminated from the draft lottery if... Every 3 years. So if you're in the draft lottery for 3 years in a row, the fourth year, you're not allowed to be in the draft lottery.
That was known as the Edmonton Oilers rule.
They tried to make that work. Yeah. We just kept winning them anyway.
But no, you're just out. Like, you pick 16, whatever it is.
That's fine.
Like, if you don't make the playoffs. Because then it forces teams to actually try and be good.
Mm-hmm. Another one I would do, if you request a trade, your no move is void.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah. I hate those that's when it's like, one. You can only trade me to one or two teams. Like, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. I actually heard this one from Gregor the other day, and it was really, I think it was on the rundown. He was talking about how the NHL should adapt the contracts that the NBA do for players. So rookies, you can't be a full free agent until you're over 25, but you get like a rookie max deal. And then after that, you can basically get as much money as you want. I think that might be good.
I have another rule.
Go ahead.
No more Ticketmaster.
Mm.
End Ticketmaster's control of straight the tickets.
To the door. Dan wants to sell the tickets from his house.
I would like to sell the tickets for the Oilers.
He's got big boxes of them in his garage.
Dan@OilersNation.com. Send me an email. Oilers, I know you're listening.
Any other rules? Last call?
That's it.
Yeah, no, like off-ice rules.
Oh, I guess it's a gameplay rule. I'm getting rid of the shootout. I'm extending the 3-on-3 OT.
Yeah. Endless OT, endless 3-on-3 OT?
No, I'd say 10 minutes.
If you don't, it's not endless, then there's going to be ties again. I'm fine with ties.
I'm fine with ties. So I'm going to say I've got 10 minutes of 3-on-3 OT. That's going to get guys further down the roster onto the ice. That's going to cause mismatches. It's going to be fun. More games will end.
I think we fix the shootout by making it that the other team picks your shooters.
Or you put a player in net, not your goalie.
But then you have to put your backup goalie in.
Posts.
Oh, you got to play post like in Mighty Ducks. Everybody like that.
You could just do no time on the 3-on-3. They end so quickly anyway.
I would argue that endless 3-on-3 OT might be the best thing, and people just don't think about it because all of a sudden your roster goes from having four lines with three defensive lines to having what? Math?
Tyler wants a back end, Liam.
Tyler Math.
Oh, iPhone 13.
Perfect timing, Tyler. You need to help me with this math.
It's also an iPhone 13 now.
Oh, Tyler, like Tyler is doing so well for himself. He's got an iPhone 14.
It's
that's
actually
not even
an iPhone 12, but he just calls it iPhone 13.
Yeah, he relabeled it.
But so on the 3-on-3 thing, it would also eliminate the guys just holding on to the puck.
Yeah.
Maybe in 3-on-3 OT also, you get rid of the over and back, kind of like an NBA type thing, so they don't keep circling back like they always do.
But that's a really good point, Liam, because if you just log jam the star players like they tend to do right now, which is just possession game and take off the star players, then all of a sudden you're playing your fourth liners against our second liners.
Yeah.
You know, like,
so
it'd be good.
We are watching Tyler walk on the Zoom call. I don't know if he can hear me or not.
That's a bus station.
What up?
That's a bus depot for sure.
Oh, no, he's outside.
Tyler, we're doing Ask the Idiots. You are rubbing Gary Bettman on the head. And you get one rule change that's not pertaining to what happens on the ice. So we've talked about, I brought up bringing franchise tags back in again. We talked about eliminating no movement clauses if you've asked for a trade. Is there a rule that you would love to change in the NHL that is not necessarily pertaining to what happens on the ice?
Oh, that's a good one. One that I heard floated out this weekend that really piqued my interest was limiting veteran player contracts. So once you hit, say, 30 years old, you cannot sign a contract that's more than 5 years long. And I actually think this is something that could benefit every party in terms of the PA and the leagues. Obviously, it would prevent GMs from shooting themselves in the foot with terrible, terrible contracts. It would save them from themselves. And also for the NHLPA as a whole, if you don't have older players on these terrible contracts that eventually just need buyouts, there could be more money to go around to the younger players, guys in their primes, right? So I wonder if maybe that's something that I would do, but that's kind of the first one that popped into my head.
Do you think the PA would be okay with that, though? Like, I know you just said it would. I don't see how the older guys would be like, man, if you turn 31, I want that seven-year contract. Why are you kicking us out to the curb when I'm 35 and bringing on this 22-year-old kid? I'm still better than him.
You're going to have to do the math in your head when you're resigning those contracts, though. You're going to have to be like, okay, my contract ends when I'm 30 or 29, and then you sign a longer one. You have to do a little forward thinking.
Yeah, it was just an idea to kind of get some more player movement going around the league as well. But you're right, Rick. The reason why it ultimately probably wouldn't happen is because, you know, the PA is generally led by the older generation of players, and those guys want to look out for, in some ways, the older generation of players. So I think it's a good point by you.
Question number two, Ask the Idiots. The Oilers now have roughly $20 million in cap space with guys going on to the LTIR. Is there really a reason they have to keep Tyson Barrie, Tyler?
No, there's not. There's no reason why they should keep Tyson. Well, I shouldn't say no reason. There is an argument to be made for why you would keep Tyson Barrie, but I still think they'd be better off moving him. Listen, Cody Ceci on the right side handles all of your cup assignments, okay? Evan Bouchard can be your power play, second pairing guy, wherever you need to put him. He can do the offensive stuff that you need. That means Cody Ceci is locked in to be your, or sorry, Tyson Barrie is locked in to be your third pairing defenseman. And you're paying him $4.5 million. If you can move on from him and get a guy who's cheaper and maybe even better in that role, then maybe you can spend that money elsewhere. Like the idea I floated out in my article was, you know, if you moved on from Barrie and then used that money to sign both of Calvin DeHaan and Mark Pisick, a guy who can play the left and right side in DeHaan, a guy who's the strict righty in Mark Pisick, are you not maybe better off spending that money? And maybe that duo is even cheaper than $4.5 million. But even if it was $4.5 million, are those two maybe not more valuable than just Tyson Barrie alone? So I don't think this Keith thing should be stopping the Oilers from making a move on Tyson Barrie, but we'll see what happens.
Just if you're listening to this podcast right now, so Tyler, where are you walking right now? Are you walking back to the hotel?
Yeah, I just got back to my hotel.
So Tyler's walking back to his hotel and he's filming from underneath himself. I don't know if any of you are on TikTok as much as I am, but he kind of looks like that kid that's got the camera on his face that loves trains.
Francis?
Yeah. He just like... yeah, it's exactly like that. He just really looks like that kid that loves trains on TikTok. Dan, does the key thing mean Barry has to stay?
I'm with Tyler. I'm with Tyler in the sense that, like, why do you have to stop improving your team at one? To me, the sky is now the limit for this team. There's a lot of different ways that we can look at this. We talked about it before Tyler got on the podcast, talking about priorities to spend that money. And for me, that's in the net. But, you know, you look at making a transaction with Tyson and Barry, and then all of a sudden, maybe John Klingberg is a new person that you identify as a guy to bring in. I don't know. Like, there's a ton of options and a ton of things that have just kind of opened up in the last 2 days. And I have to give Ken Holland a ton of credit for that. So yeah, I don't think that you need to necessarily make a move, but I also don't think that it stops you from making that move and continuing to make your team better.
Liam?
I don't think Tyson Barry needs to stay. I like Tyler's pick of Mark Pisick, right defenseman, also right winger. Had a hat trick last year on the right wing.
He did not.
Yes, he did. He played forward for one game and had a hat trick and only had 3 goals all season.
Wow.
Yeah, so you got to think that, you know, bit of diversity there.
I like how he's listed on Cap Friendly as an RD / right winger. That's so funny.
I just think, why not just move him on? You can probably get something for Barry, too.
Sure.
Add a little bit of depth to your lineup. They're probably going to bring some more to your team. Like, I wouldn't keep them alone.
Rick, what do you think?
Obviously, you don't have to keep them. There's worse moves out there to have, so he's not the worst player. But I do believe, like, there might be better situational players out there. I think you still want to keep a veteran around. So whether it be DeVahan and Pisick or one of the two or whatever, I think you need it has to be a bit of a veteran, a bit of a dressing room presence, someone who's been around and done some things and seen some stuff. But you're not definitely not forced to keep him.
I think I have no problem with Tyson Barry, so I'm going to start with saying that.
Me too.
I have zero problem with Tyson Barry, but I think if Evan Bouchard is going to come eat his lunch money on the power play in terms of the minutes, then it might be nice to have a different flavor, you know? Might be nice to have a different flavor. So, no, I don't think the Duncan Key thing necessarily means Tyson Barry should either stay or go. We'll see what happens with them because, like Liam said, there's value there. Third question. We kind of covered this a little bit, but now that Tyler's in the mix, I'm going to start with Tyler. What are your biggest Oilers priorities now that they've got some cash to spend that we didn't have a few days ago?
It's pretty clear, actually. It's goaltending. It's the left side of your defense, and it's getting some scoring in here. Between the pipes, I really do think, and, you know, based on the chit chat I've kind of heard, it's going to be Campbell or Kemper, I believe, at least. That's me reading tea leaves of random conversations I've had. I think Campbell or Kemper make a ton of sense for the Oilers, and I think that's the way they would likely lean in this scenario. On the left side, I can't imagine Kulak not getting done. And up front, that to me is the biggest unknown. Because, like, could it be Evander Kane? Yep. Could it be someone they trade some future assets for? Yep. Could it be a combination of a few guys that they're just taking a shot at? Absolutely. I think there's a chance it's Evander Kane. There's a real chance it's Claude Giroux. That is legit. I think Dylan Strome is a great option, but obviously not nearly on the same level as those two. I think Mason Marchment is a really good option, obviously not on the same level as those two. I think if it's Evander Kane is probably just Evander Kane. If it's Claude Giroux, I actually think you could probably sneak in one of Strome or Marchment with Claude Giroux as well. So it'll be fascinating to see what decisions they end up making up on the left side or even the right side of the forward group, I should add, because they need some additions there. It's maybe not on the surface the bigger priority because you sit there and look at a team with McDavid and Draisaitl and you say, Kate, they'll score. They don't have a goalie right now and they need some D-men. Those will get done, though. I think that it's a pretty clear-cut path to how you can fill those spots. Forward is much more complicated.
Rick, how are you prioritizing your money?
You know what? I'm not going to go position-wise. I'm going to say you need about four value contracts. You need to win on four value contracts. You need four CC-type pickups this summer. One has to be a goaltender. One needs to be defense. I think you need two forward. So whether... You have to win these deals. Like, they have to be $4 or $5 million and you got to win them. It's that simple.
Dan?
My problem is, and I'm with Tyler more than I was a couple of days ago on the Kemper Campbell idea. My problem being that, it's I don't know, it like it's just this is the exciting summer now for me. And those were the answers when we were up against it. And now I think that we could be more unique with it and more exciting with it. I don't know. I'm not fully sold on Kemper now after watching him in the playoffs myself. I think goalie is the position that they have to identify and have to fix first and foremost. But like Tyler said, I think that that's going to happen here. I may not necessarily agree with the fix that they make, but I'm okay with it because I just think that there needs to be, you know, we need to address this stuff now. And so, yeah, to me, it's really exciting to see what happens with the goalies and the defense. And then, yeah, the subtext is what we do with the forwards.
Liam?
I think obviously goalie, but then just adding depth to the forward group. Like, I think the others got deeper last year, but those guys didn't necessarily contribute massively in the playoffs. Guys like Fogel, for example. Like, we would have liked to see more from him. So that would be my big thing, just adding more depth. Like, I like the Mason Marchman, Dylan Strome. I like both those ideas. And then maybe even just bringing in a more veteran guy to the bottom pairing of your defense, just to kind of add a bit more to that rather than just running Broberg every night.
Yeah, just to wrap it up, I'm going to say priority goalie, defense, forward in that order for me. Forwards is going to be, like Tyler said, the most interesting because losing Kane, that's obviously, you know, that'd be a big loss. He was great for the Oilers, but maybe he comes back. Who knows? I have no idea. So there you go. Ask the Idiots for our friends at Buster's Pizza. Boys, who's getting the GC? We've got rule change one. Tyson Berry question two, and how are you prioritizing the cash? Number three, Dan.
Rub Gary's head.
Everybody loves to. Liam.
Gary.
Rick.
Prioritizing cash.
Tyler.
Prioritizing cash.
He was just waiting. Yeah.
That was a strategic answer.
Okay, so I've got two.
I was
going to
say it anyways.
I've got two answers here that I need. Who's going to win? Who is going to win? I'm going to say prioritizing cash just because it's a bigger question. So, Blake, I will reach out to you post-podcast to get you your gift card from Buster's Pizza. I also want to know from you, the listener, how are you prioritizing the cash? Hit us up at ON Radio Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Lastly, it is time to get to our Twig and Berry's Hot and Cold Performers of the Week. I'm going to keep this draft related. I'm going to keep this draft related. So we're going to look at, it could be any draft. It could be any team from this draft. However you want to do it, your hot and cold performance brought to you by Twig and Berries. Go to twigandberries.ca, use the promo code NATION15, get a discount on your order, or head on out to their store out in St. Albert to check out their wares in person. The Connor hoodie, I've got one. You need one. Promise you that. The ODR collection, excellent. If you go to the website, you can see Bearded Brad and some undies. That's just a free bonus for you. That's just a free bonus. Good. Tyler, you were down in Montreal. We're going to start with our veggies. Who is your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week?
My Twig and Berries cold performer of the week. I got my hot performer locked and loaded. Cold performer, I will say the fact that I haven't had a poutine yet in Montreal. I'm giving it to myself. I'm going to hunt one out tonight, but I haven't had one yet.
I'm upset.
Ah, you know what? I'll give it to him. Whatever. He's at the draft and he hasn't had a poutine. I guess that's, I mean,
close enough.
It accounts, right. You know. Yeah.
All right.
He's the hypotenuse in this question. All about Dan, your Twig and Berry's cold performer of the week.
Can you just stop moving your screen for 1 sec, Liam? I'm just trying to read his name. Number 29 pick, Maverick Lamoureux, gets selected and his parents share an intimate moment. And all of a sudden, the weird internet just starts focusing on their kiss and the fact that they included tongue in it as if we've never kissed before on the internet, which is, I know, is true about many people on the internet. But to me, the cold performer of the week is going to get the people that focused in on that kiss a lot too much.
What?
You know what? I respect the Lamoureux for going in for a tongue kiss after the boy gets drafted. Okay. I like that.
Exactly. Catch me when your kid gets drafted in the NHL and see if you want to make out with somebody or not.
I've been trying to tongue kiss all the boys here at the office all day long and no one's taken. Liam, your Twig and Berry's cold form of the week.
I don't know if I'm even allowed to say this guy, but I'll say it anyway. Pierre Maguire on the panel is not ideal.
I did miss him. I did miss him.
That's a nice way to say it, man.
Yeah, so there you go. You're as cold as
My favorite was in round one when I don't remember who it was that was sliding, and they're just like, Pierre, what's your take on so and so sliding? He's like, I don't know. End of sentence. It's just like, what? How is that your analysis?
There's so many. I'm sorry. The JT Miller one was my favorite when he was like, you know, David Amber asked him, he's like, so what do you think of this, Pierre? And he's like, I don't like to speculate on players getting traded. And David Amber goes, well, that's the job.
There's a lot of love for David Amber last night. There's a lot of love for David Amber last night.
Rick, your Twig and Berry cold performer of the week.
It has to go to Chicago. I don't know what exactly they were trying to do. They made some interesting moves yesterday, and you're trying to rebuild. I get it, but you kind of need your 24-year-olds to rebuild. So unless they're trying to rebuild by starting a junior high team, I really don't know what they were doing.
Worse. My Twig and Berry cold performer of the week is just every year I get bamboozled into not remembering how long the first round is. And there's something nice about the Oilers picking that late in the first round. If you think back to the draft parties, if you ever came to one, by the time pick 30 would have rolled around, 32 in this case, we would have been hammered.
To be fair, you probably have no real accurate timeline on how long a first round goes because of those parties.
Well, that's just it. So 4.5 hours, I think it was last night. So I'm just going to say we need to tighten it up somehow. But for the team here at Nation HQ, like Liam, who's making graphics, it worked out fine. I'm just a complainer. I ran out of my bottle of red wine last night, Liam, and I had an hour left to go.
Are you thrilled?
Draft.
I'm not.
I wasn't.
Premature push there.
But it all works out. So let's finish off the podcast on a positive note. Let's start with our Twig and Berry's hot performer of the NHL draft, Mr. Yaremchuk. You were down there. Who is your Twig and Berry hot performer of the week?
Forget everything that Dan said. Maverick Lamoureux's parents get my hot performer of the week. I've been saying for years, there's not enough horniness at the NHL draft. I'm glad they brought that energy.
For years, he said.
So this guy is smoking hot.
Tyler, a big fan of the boy auction. Rick, your hot performer of the week.
Oh, I want to pick with my heart and just say, you know what, the Oilers, and they're where they are now. But I saw something today that was absolutely phenomenal. And it was Bruce Boudreau getting to meet Kevin Owens. I don't know who got to see that, but seeing a grown-ass man get that excited about meeting his favorite wrestler. And that dude, like, he watches Raw and SmackDown regularly because he's like, oh, dude, like, you're out right now. He's asking about his injuries and stuff. Like, it was phenomenal. So Bruce Boudreau and Kevin KO connection, that's getting the hot performer.
He's a hot guy.
It was really funny because Bruce kept asking Kevin questions as if he didn't know the answer. Like, oh, you beat so-and-so at this match. And he's like, yes, I did. And Bruce is like, I knew you did. Like, it's just, it was so pure.
Honorary cult performer. That while that was all going on, we missed the Oilers' second pick of the draft.
And the other one was a commercial break. We only got the first and the seventh round.
We got the first and the seventh round picks on TV this year. Liam, your Twig and Berry's hot performer of the week.
Slovakia. Good for them. 1 and 2 in the draft, and then what was it, 26? Way to go, Slovakia.
The entire country is Slovakia.
Congratulations, Slovakia.
Yeah! Good work, everybody.
My hot performer of the week. I'm going to say my hot performer of the week for our friends at Twig and Berries is Tyler for texting me right before the draft started last night and said, I think you should bet on Simon Nemec going at second overall to New Jersey. I did do that, and I turned a little bit of money into a lot more money. So I like when a bet with juicy odds goes through. Big fan of winning money. So Tyler, a little sneaky info. You get my hot performer of the week.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Let me just add on to that and say that if anyone would have watched the Daily Faceoff show yesterday, they would have had the same info.
Well, I don't have time.
So what you're saying is Bag Milk was not watching that.
I was not. I have too much to do to stare at Tyler all day. I do that on my personal time, not on work time. You know what I mean? Tyler, any final thoughts from Montreal as we wrap up episode 211 of
Oilers Nation Radio? Hot performer first.
Oh, you haven't done it?
I haven't yet.
Oh, Dan, your
sorry, Tyler.
Twig and Berry hot performer of the week.
My Twig and Berry hot performer of the week is going to go to, it's a little bit of a cheat. It still has to do with the draft, but it's going to go to one Zach Kassian. I think if you looked back on at the time when we made the transaction for Zach Kassian from the Montreal Canadiens themselves, a lot of us were only remembering him taking 6 or 7 of Sam Gagner's teeth at the time. So for a guy to turn around the fan base and get us so excited for him. And I think that the fan base was really hopeful for him the last few seasons as well. Just didn't work out, didn't pan out. Wish him all the best of luck in Arizona. So Zach Cassian, you get my hot performer of the week. It's getting
hot in here. Sorry, Dan, missed you.
That's okay.
Zach Cassian, we had some good memories. I think about the 2017 playoff run. Mm. He was a monster against the Sharks. That's what I remember. The chops, the celebration with that fan after that one goal. We all loved it. We all loved it. Can you believe 7 years here in Edmonton, Liam? Seven.
Me or Cassian?
Cassian.
Oh.
I don't know when you got
here. He was here for 7 years?
Yeah, seven seasons.
Cassian.
Is that...
The trade took place almost 7 years. The trade took place in December of 2015.
Liam, how long have you been in Edmonton?
Way longer than 7 years.
Well, Liam wins. And
I'm still here. Well, take that, Zach.
Shout out to the Oilers for winning the Scrivens for Cassian trade.
Yeah, that was big.
That's a big win.
The professor.
Tyler, any final thoughts from Montreal?
Just really cool. Like, honestly, my first ever time being in an NHL draft. And the fact that Montreal's picking first and Montreal made those big splashes, like, I'll never forget the noise the crowd made when it was Juraj Slafkovský going first overall. I'll never forget.
What was it? Because I texted you. I asked you and you didn't answer.
Oh, sorry. It was just a mix of, like, gasps. Imagine, like, 40% of the people cheering, 30% of the people gasping, and the other 30% just being like, whoa. And, like, you almost just heard only those three reactions. It was wild. And then when they made the trade, Bettman comes up and they're booing the shit out of him, right? Because they always do that. And he goes, I got a trade. They both involve the Habs. And everyone is just like, whoa, like on pins and needles. They boo the hell out of the fact that they traded Romanov. And then when the Doc thing happens, they go nuts. It was just so neat to be in the building. I also thought Gary Bettman does a great job with that stuff. The drama in the way he announces the trades. And also, I don't know if they showed this on TV, but after like the fourth pick, he goes up and because they boo him every pick, right? So he goes up and the boos were kind of quiet. And Bettman goes like, you're getting tired. And then they like just like cranked it up a notch and booed him even more. It was just a ton of fun to be here. But the one thing I will say, we've done this debate on the podcast before. We always said, would you rather have Edmonton get a draft or an all-star game? I think after I've experienced both of them now this year for the first time, the answer is definitely the all-star game. It's way more fun from a fan perspective.
Last question, Tyler. We saw you having hot dogs in the press box. Mm. What was the final total?
They ran out of buns halfway through the day, so I didn't get to go back for any more. It was 3 on night one, 2 during the day today.
You didn't decide
and
to
they
just,
had other food there.
Just,
so
just held a glizzy?
you just go glizzy down the gullet?
They have some sort of special bun, though, it looked like.
Do you got pocket wieners right now?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, like, that's what they're kind of famous for, I guess, in the media, right, is these, like, press box hot dogs. And the bun is, like, a weird combination. It's, like, a piece of bread, white bread almost, but, like, it's folded. I don't know. It's really hard to explain, but it's fantastic.
I would go back while you can. Maybe just get some glizzies. Pack those around. Pocket full of them.
No smoke meat sandwiches, though, Tyler.
Tyler, you got a lot of food deep before you leave. When do you come home? Tomorrow? Sunday?
I leave tomorrow at 8:50 in the morning.
So you better pack those down. Better pack them in. We will see you soon.
Big night of glizzies for me.
Is there anything happening for the media now that the draft's done?
Get out.
Nope. We are done. They honestly, we were doing the rundown, and the little coordinator person came up to me. I was like, you got to be wrapped up by 5. And I was like, it's 3:30, but okay. And they're like, yeah, no, we're going to start cleaning up right away. I was like, oh, sorry. Like, as soon as the draft's done, they have like 50 workers in there. The thing's half taken down already.
Wow. Crazy.
Wow.
Well, they got to move on for the next draft.
So nothing to do.
Shit to do.
Yep.
All right, there you go. So for Oodle Noodle, DoorDash, Cornerstone Insurance, Buster's Pizza, and twigandberries.ca, this is Oilers Nation Radio episode 211. Thank you to Zach Cassian for your time served here at Edmonton. Thank you to Duncan Keith for enjoying 11 a.m. pitchers of sangria, allegedly, in my opinion. That's what you deserve, bro. You got a Hall of Fame career to lay back on. You got some cup rings. That's all you need. So from all of us, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Hit us up with some feedback on what you thought of the NHL draft and check out all the stories at OilersNation.com.
Shout out Luca Del Bel Buzu.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.